in Mitzvah Kuf Mem Vav. As Daniel pointed out, again, where the Ravid has his Hasaga, so to defend the Rambam against the Hasaga of the Ravid, the Kesef Mishnah says as follows. Hasa Ravid, and he quotes it, and then he says, V'yesh lomar l'das Rabbeinu shehi asei l'mi sheyirtza lechol basar sheyishkot o yishkot lo acher. So actually that does clearly sound not like it's a kiyum only, that if he happens to do shkita, then he gets a kiyum a mitzvah for it, but that if he was interested in akilas basar, then there's a mitzvah saseh, sheyishchot ohu o acher, which means that it's a chiyuv, just not a chobes hagabra, but a chiyuv in the context of the tanai of imirza. So that's helpful. Okay, one other horror quickly. Ariel Diamond just pointed out correctly. Again, we mentioned that the language of the Mordechai when he quotes Hilchos Eretz Yisrael is pigol, and I think that is a very striking language. The only methodological question to raise, I think it's legitimate to raise it, is he says pigol about a lot of things in that context, in the first Mordechai in Chulin. The question is, by saying that all these issues are problems of pigol, does he dilute the significance of the term pigol? Pigol, of course, has a kodshim connotation. I think it's a legitimate question to raise. Having said that, I still think that the use of pigol implies that Hilchos Eretz Yisrael is operating with Shechitas Chulin and being a dimension or a component of kodshim. At least it's not a coincidence. But I agree, using it too much might be a problem. Okay, getting back to where we were. So what we want to do today is finish off the issue of brachos and move on to Pasataiva. So in brachos so far, we've discussed the fact that there is a bracha, the makar. And then the question becomes, is it a birchas hamitzvah or a birchas shevach vahoda? I think the Gemaras, namely brachos, Yerushalmi brachos, the Gemara in Pesachim, in particular, even partially the Gemara in Chulin, if that's a legitimate Gemara, for the Rishonim, other than the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos, I think the clearly Pesachim and the Yerushalmi are in the context of Birchas HaMitzvah, and clearly for the Rambam and the Rush, we're dealing with Birchas HaMitzvah. I think that's a davar pashut. The Rush in Ksuvas and the Rush and the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos and in Hilchos Shechita. However, the Taz is of the view, this big Chiddush, that that the bracha is a Birchas Shevach Vahoda, as we discussed. I just want to point out that I think the Taz here may be Lishitaso. And that is because, I just want to examine some of these issues quickly today, in Simen Yud Tes, the Taz is much more comfortable comparing Birchas HaShechita to Birchas HaNenin than he is to comparing it to Birchas HaMitzvah. For example, when the, we'll discuss this more fully in a minute, the Tosefta, which says that if a person is, if more than one person is involved in a particular mitzvah, right, there only one person needs to make the bracha for everybody, right, that Tosefta, which the Arzarua quotes right here in the beginning of Kulin. So that Tosefta is about Birchas HaMitzvah. But the Taz, when he comments on the halacha, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Yaradayan, Simen Yud Tes, Shnayim Shochetim the Siv Gimel. Shnayim Shochetim Shnei Balei Chayim Yochal Levarecha Echad Lahotzi Chabeiro Vehu Sheyiskavim Latzeis. So Pashtus, that comes from this Tosefta, from the Arzarua and the Rush and so on. But the Taz says here in Siv Katan Gimel, Kamash Malam Bazeh Delo Teima Dafka Bebirchas HaNenin Shekulun Yeshlem Kvius Echad Az Echad Mevarech Lekulan. So one might have thought that in the context of Birchas HaNenin, one person can be Mevarech for everybody else because there's one Kvius Seuda. But maybe that's not true in Birchas Shechita, where they don't have that kind of Tziruf and that kind of Kvius. So the Lo Tema of Birchas HaNenin is striking, because the source would seem to be Birchas HaMitzvah. You also find this in the Drisha, on the Tur, where he says, again, maybe this depends on the Machlokas Haposkim, in the context of Birchas Hananin, again, Ketz Mevarchin, whether or not one person could be Mevarech for everybody else, and whether or not Yayin and Pas are different, and which direction they're different. Again, we're not learning Ketz Mevarchin, so we won't go so much into that. But the point is that Yayin and Pas are Birchos, possibly Birchos HaSeuda. They have a special status, either they have the special status B'toras Ikar, B'toras HaTafel, or B'toras Birchos HaSeuda itself, without going into more detail. And therefore, there's either more reason or less of a reason to say that one person can be motzi acherim around the table, yedei chavasa. But the Drisha says, either way, whether or not you can do that on a regular Birchas Hananin is a machlokas aposkim, and that should determine whether or not, if two people are shechting animals, one person should be able to mevarech on behalf of the other as well. And then he says, however, thinking about it, actually, it doesn't depend on that machlokas at all, because that machlokas is machlokas within Birchas Hananin. And here we're talking in Shechita about Birchas HaMitzvah. That's what he says. But here the Taz says, in Sipkat and Gimel, Kamash Malam Bazed, the Lotei Madafka, Birchas Hananin, Shekulin Yeshlem Kviyus Echad, Oechen Mevarech Lekulan, Kamash Malan, it's not so. Again, the frame of reference for this halacha isn't the Tosefta about Birchas HaMitzvos, it's the discussion in the poskim based on the Gemara's and Ketz Mevarchin about Birchas Hanen. I think that's one point. The second issue, which I'm not as sure about, is, again, if you look at Simin HaTes, and I'm going to go very quickly, I hope, through some of the details in just a minute, but the question of Sach Bein Shechita L'Shechita, that's a big machlokas of Rishonim, we'll discuss it in a few minutes in more detail. Sach Bein Shechita L'Shechita is one issue. And the second issue, the issue of Nimlach. Right, Sach Bein Shechita L'Shechita means that you're shechting many animals, you want to shecht many animals, you have a whole parade of animals in front of you, you know you have intention to shecht them all. However, you're Sach Bein Shechita L'Shechita, that's one case. Second case is, there's no Sach at all, but at the time you're doing the Shechita, there's only certain animals in front of you, and those are the only ones that you're thinking about, and then later on, more are added to the mix. Now when this addition takes place is also very crucial to the discussion. Right, the addition could take place, if the addition takes place before you do anything, then it's fine. That's obviously not Nimlach. What if the addition takes place after the bracha, before the Shechita? That's a machlokas aposkim. Beis Yosef, and the Shach endorses it in Simin Yates, says there's no Nimlach problem as long as the animals are considered before the Shechita, even if it's after the bracha. Okay. And other poskim, including, I think, the Prima Gadin, the Prichadash, they're not so certain about that. They think maybe it depends on the bracha. Okay. And what if you add, even after the bracha, but let's say you have a pile of animals, let's say you have 10 animals, they're all included in your calculation. Right? 10 animals. And then, as you reach, you've done 7, 8, and as you get down, there are two more left, then you add another 10 animals. But at the time when you made the bracha and started the Shechita, it was only the 10, but you haven't finished those 10. Does the remnant of the first group mitzaref the next group? That too is a discussion in the poskim, in Rishonim already, and then in the Tur, and then in the Shulchan Aruch. That's a second issue within Nimlach. And then a third issue, Bala Itur and others as well, are you mechalek between Min Echad and Shnei Minim? Does it matter whether it's two minim or not? So these are some of the issues that come up. Sicha, Nimlach, we'll discuss them a little more fully later on, but just, I don't want to go into so much detail, but you'll see these are the discussions in the Rishonim and the Poskim, these kind of issues. So a lot of the frame of reference for these discussions in some of the Rishonim and in some of the Poskim is, again, Birchas Hananim. And the Poskim themselves discuss whether that's a proper model. Now, mostly the one in the Beis Yosef and the Tur Beis Yosef, Bach, the Nosa Kelim and Shulchan Aruch, on these issues, mostly their analysis is, well, it is like Birchas Hananin, but the Kviyus of Seuda is, and the idea of an ongoing Seuda, there might be more, we're always, there's another portion coming, even if we're not thinking about it, but sitting and eating a meal, you always know, the hostess you know, with the mostis, could always surprise us, you know, with another delicacy or another portion of the, you know, excellent whatever it was. So, you know, it's kind of built in. It's more of a practical issue. Masha'enkein, shchitas, behemos, you know, what you see is what you get, pretty much. Those are practical distinctions. However, if you look at some of the later poskim, the Prichadash, the Primagadim in particular, in Siman Yutes, some of them challenge whether or not Birchas Hanenin is really a proper framework to begin with. After all, aren't we really talking about Birchas HaMitzvah here? Talking about Birchas Shchita. We're not talking about Shehakol Nieh B'Dvaro or Borei Minei Mezonos. So is it really the same dinim, or the adjustment is just one of Kvius HaSeuda, the Umdana? Maybe it's really very different types of dinim. So it's, I think this is a very very important issue for Birchas Shchita, obviously. And what's also interesting to note is that on the issue of Sach Bein, Shchita L'Shchita, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes two deos. We know it's a Machlokas Rishonim in the Sugya and Chulin Pei Vav Medbeis, right? Hopefully you've seen the Tosis there, and the Rosh, and the Ran, and the Ramban, just very quickly. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes two deos. But the primary dea seems to be the one the Rama certainly seizes on, is that your chozer mevarech imsach beneim have a hefsek v'tzarech lachzer levarech. And then of sif hey, then in the end you say v'yeshomrim the sicha ben shchita the shchita lo have a hefsek. So the preponderant view in the poskim, the shach says this in the Nekudas HaKesef. For some reason, doesn't say it in the main shach. Well, he saw the taz and therefore he responded. So he said in the Nekudas HaKesef, and most of the poskim say that we paskin that Urchozer Mavarech. The Taz is the exception. Taz in Sivkot and Yud says that in this case, not Sivkot and Yud, Sivkot and Tes, he says, the Kivin Shlo Echriya B'Shulchan Aruch, Kaimelon Kiyesh Omrim, the Safek Brachos Lahakel, Malkarch Tzarech Lizar, Shalei Damer Ben Shchito L'Shchito, Shalei Avi Atzma Lidei Safek. So in part, it seems that this Taz was impressed with, again, the big issues, Sach Bein, Shchita L'Shchita, we'll discuss it more fully in a minute, but just the short story for a moment, is one of the models. Right? So in the Rishonim, already in the Bali Tosis, one model is Suda. Let's say you're eating a Suda, and more than one food type, you know, is brought to the table, with the same bracha, obviously. And you're mopsik, but you have a conversation. And it's not, you know, give me melach, you know, give me, you know, coke, or whatever it is that one needs, the urgent things that one needs for one's meal. We're not talking about something that isn't hafsek. We're saying, what are you learning? What did you do yesterday? You know, the usual tidbits of conversation around the table. They have nothing to do with food. So you're always mopsik. You're always sach bein, right? Achila la achila. And yet, the halacha clearly is, from a Birchas HaNenin point of view, that that's not a hefsek. On the other hand, the other model is, what's the other model? Tefillin. Exactly. That your tefillin, if you're mafsik between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, you have to be chozer mevarech. That's the other model. And we'll discuss it more fully in a minute, but that's a Birchas HaMitzvah model. So, again, partly it depends whether or not tefillin is a classic Birchas HaMitzvah model, or there's something unique about tefillin. And I think for most Rishonim think Birchas Shchita is certainly Birchas HaMitzvah, and yet they think the question is Suda still may be more relevant than tefillin because of the uniqueness of tefillin, which we'll explain in a minute. But I just think it's fascinating that the Taz, of all people, really didn't care much for the whole Birchas HaMitzvah comparison, because I think L'shita So is Birchas Shabbach Bahodah, which is still different than Birchas HaNenin, but it's more that he wasn't focused on the Birchas HaMitzvah component. And therefore he happens to be among the few poskim who paskin that Sach Bein Shchita L'Shchita is not kosher. Again, he's still kosheish for the other shitos, and he says, you know, you should always, you know, be careful. But that's a different matter. So I just pointing out that the Taz is, I think, a very unique shita, and one which opens up the door for other things. Given the Taz's view, it would be much easier to justify the next point we want to speak about for a few minutes, and that is la'achar asiyasa, right? Because we know that birchas shevach v'hoda are often la'achar asiyasa. Okay, so let's speak about that. Okay, so that's one, birchas hamitzvah, birchas shevach. Second issue to discuss very quickly is, does the birchas shechita apply to a treifa? We already mentioned that that's a machlokas rishonim and poskim. Rashi and Achuva and the Marshal seem to take the view that even on treifa, or at least safek treifa, there are some poskim who distinguish between treifa and safek treifa. Again, Prima Gadim has that discussion, even for this view. But let's for the moment gloss over that. Even for treifa, there will be a birchas hashchita. And the Bach and the Ramah and the Shach, most poskim, the mainstream of poskim, disagree and say that there is no birchas hashchita on treifa. So that in itself is very fascinating. One can understand the machlokas in several different ways, and it is relevant to what we've been discussing. Right, number one, is the bracha simply on the maisa shchita itself? The maisa shchita has a certain kiyum or value, doing an act of shchita, even if there is no heter achila, or it's related to the heter achila. Certainly, if we're seeing shchita as a mitzvah in terms of isra asay, basar tmusa, then it has to be connected to the achila. Even if you see it as a mitzvah and a kiyum, it's very possibly not the maisa alone, but the impact of this maisa on being machshir and matir, the basar. But if you think it's the maisa shkita alone is the mitzvah, or that the matir is being motzi midei nevela, then of course there's room to discuss making a bracha on treifa as well. There are some interesting issues, though, that come connected with this. For example, is the problem only treifa? What about other macholas asuras? So on the surface, there would be no differentiation between macholas asuras and treifa if the issue is, do you need a matir of achila, right, in order, do you need a heter achila in order to justify this is a mitzvah and therefore is a birchas mitzvah? If it's actual hechsher achila, then possibly this would make no difference. On the other hand, there are two reasons to be machalic. One is, go ahead, Barthel.
Perhaps the treifa is unique in the sense that it's shchita, they are quasi shchita.
Exactly. Number one, if we take the view that, again, Reb Chaim's understanding of the Rambam, which we referred to the other day, which is that treifa isn't just an iser, separate iser. Treifa is a separate iser, then there's no difference between treifa and chazir, or tevel, right? Except tevel's not nitan to a case of shchita. But the point is that there's no difference between other macholos asuros and treifa if treifa is an independent iser. But if treifa itself is that the essence of treifa is that there's no heter shchita, that's how we understand treifa, then one could argue that shchita's treifa dafka is a bracha levatala and is not a mitzvah. If you're interested also in the heksher, again, let me make it clear. In the other extreme, just because the Rashi and the Marshal think that you make a bracha on shchita's treifa doesn't mean that they don't hold of the view that treifa is a lack of heter shchita. It could be that they hold that the mitzvah isn't based on the heter shchita, it's based on the maisa shchita, or the heter tahara midei nevela. That's still possible. But in the other direction, what I'm suggesting is that if you want to be mechalek between treifa and other macholos asuros, it would be sensible to say that, as Baruch Dov just put it very nicely, there's something lacking in the shchita too here. It isn't the maisa, but it is in the matir component. As opposed to, let's say you have chazir or something else, well, chazir is tam anyway, but let's say you have some other macholos asuros. So in that other macholos asuros, so at least you've been matir mitzad, shchita, neina zvucha. No, the matir of shchita is there, just that there's no heter achila for some other reason. Right? What would happen, for example, if you were shochet basar on Yom Kippur? right? That might be a different level even. Let's say not a cheftish or machalos asuros, but a situation where there's an isur achila. Would that be the same as treifa? Right? Clearly, there's reason to be, there's room to be machalek. The poskim, for example, Piskei Tshuva in Shulchan Aruch discusses the question of Tisha B'Av or Shavuot Shechalbo. Let's say a person shechts meat and it's going to spoil and he can't eat it during this week. Shavuot Shechalbo. So the some of the poskim in Piskei Tshuva suggest that you wouldn't make a birchas hashchita unless maybe there's a chol mesukan or somebody around, so it might be chazi. Right, you could say that for Macholos Asuros too, right? Other Macholos Asuros. You could say it for Yom Kippur too. But the point is, Shechita of Treifa might be unique. Beyond Shechita of Treifa, you might draw the line in other Cheftish or Macholos Asuros. Beyond that, you might draw the line at Isurei Gavra, like Yom Kippur. It's a discussion in the Rishonim. For example, if you eat on Yom Kippur, Bi'isura, will you make a bracha? A birchas hanene. Shonim discuss in brachos, in 7th parak, you know, whether or not you should be mechalik in that question between make a bracha and eating a piece of nevela and eating on Yom Kippur. Is it the same thing or not? Because one is mostly an isur gavra, and the other is based on the fact of the cheftas macholos asuros. So too, when it comes to birchas hashchita, making the bracha, is there a difference between Isur Gavra, like Shavuot Shechalbo, or even more so Yom Kippur, as opposed to Macholos Asuros, as opposed to even more a Treifa? This is one, I'll take the question just one more second. One could draw the line at another place. Let's say there's no Isur at all, but it's clear that the Shechita that you're going to be engaged in is not L'shem Achila. Okay. You just know you're not going to eat these animals, or it's L'shem Akum. So that's again the Gilyan Marsha and Shulchan Aruch here in Siman Yates discusses. Let's say you're the shochet for the for the army. Okay, and they want shechita dafka. Okay, so but you're not going to eat them, and no Jews are not going to eat it. Let's assume there are no Jews in the army. I mean, not sure how they knew that, but okay. I guess in those army there weren't. The non-Jewish army, whatever it is. So again, the basar is roi lachila, right? But it's there's no kavanas achila. What will happen then? Where do you draw the line in this idea that the mitzvah of shechita is connected to the matir, to the heter achila, to the maisa, to the chefta being mutar, to the gavra being mutar? Or to actual, you know, tchilas achila, the actual process of achila. Where do you draw the line? Let's say something needs shechita only midrabana. Would you make the birchas hashechita? Another question posed can deal with. A ben pakua. A ben pakua doesn't need shechita daraisa, but certain cases need drabanan. Would you make the bracha asher kiddushanu b'tzosa v'tzivanu ala shechita? So these are some of the issues. Again, the prichadash seems to say, but if you shecht the animal for a non-Jew, that it, since it's chazi l'achila, you would make a bracha. The Gilyan Amar Shah, the son of Rabbi Kivager, says you wouldn't. An interesting argument. Okay. Yeah, you had a question.
Right. We saw the Gemara in Shmuz that said that Isser Chal Isser,
right.
Isser Yom Kippur is Chal on Isser. Doesn't that mean that at least for 24 hours, isn't that?
Okay, I hear what you're asking. Either that or Macholos Asuros generally are Isurei Gavra in another sense. But it's a good point. Maybe before Yom Kippur we'll speak about that. I just don't want to get too far afield at the moment. But there the Gemara says, actually, I mean, the case there is that Yom Kippur is not Chal al Isur Neveila. Not that Isur Neveila is not Chal al Yom Kippur. But you're right. I mean, in terms of Ein Isur Chal Isur, we're not being mechalek between them, because in both cases there's a lav. But that doesn't mean that in other matters there aren't differences. In general, there's a question whether all Isurei Torah are Isurei Gavra or Isurei Cheftza. That's machlokas from Shonim and Suga in mostly in the Darim and a little bit in Shavuos, the Ritva, the Rajva, the Chuvas, there's a lot of discussion about that. But in general, Isurei Torah are I'm not talking about Shavua and Neder. Shavua is an Isur Gavra, Neder is an Isur Chavtza. What about Isurei Torah, the Isurei Gavra, Isurei Chavtza? But within that, it does make sense to be Mechalek between things that are Asur all the time. And if not technically, in terms of the questions of Isur Gavra, Isur Chavtza, of things like Hatfasa and other things, but at least in terms of issues like Brachos and Zimun, it still makes sense too. But your Har is a good Har. In terms of Isur Kal Isur, we treat them the same. Okay, that was one. That's one thing to explore. Now the third issue. So far we have Birchas Shevach, Birchas HaMitzvah. What about different levels of Inaroi LaAchila? Whether Treif is unique? Whether we draw the line in other places, etc. That's a very important issue about the nature of the Mitzvah, the Matir here. Whether it's connected to Achilas Agavra, or the Cheftza, or Tuma, etc. The third issue is the question of whether it's ma'akev, that we already had, the issue of Hilchos Eretz Yisrael and the Rambam. And just to fill that in, again, as Daniel correctly pointed out, the Mordechai quotes the Rav Yah, who says that b'mezid, if you shochet b'li bracha b'mezid, you personally cannot eat. That's a knas on you, but anybody else could. That's a whole different idea, seemingly, than the simple reading of Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. The Nora Behuda said it was a midin mumar, and that was problematic. As well. Yeah. Okay. Now we get to other issues. What about la'achar asiyasa? Fourth issue. So as we already discussed, in general, there's a debate between the Rambam and the Orzarua whether you can make a bracha la'achar asiyasa. Some achronim understand that debate is a debate about the nature of Birchas HaMitzvah itself. Namely, let me put it this way. The Rav used to always say, if you look at the Rambam in the beginning, I didn't bring it. If you look at the Rambam in the beginning of when he talks about Birchas HaNenin, so the Rambam compares Birchas HaNenin and Birchas HaMitzvah. The Rambam says, Kashem Shechayavin Levarech, right, al Ochlim. Kach, so too, chayav levarech, before mitzvahs. So the Rav always thought that means that birchas hamitzvah themselves are, compared to birchas hanenin, they are matirin. And he used to put this in a certain framework of a certain philosophy of Yahadus, and that is that one needs a matir in order to confront the Ravon Shalom, very important. Obviously, as we're on the cusp of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurin, right? We just don't have the automatic right to presume a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That relationship only can exist if it's directed and matired by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Otherwise, how do we, insignificant, right, fleeting beings that we are, how do we have the right even to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So you always need a matir. And in the context of mitzvos, it's essentially invoking of that matir. It's the bracha, asher kedeshanu v'mitzvos v'tzivanu, that allows us to engage in the ma'isa mitzvah. So in that sense, birchas mitzvah is a matir. And therefore, the Rambam holds that you cannot accomplish the matir after the fact. The whole point of a matir is that you don't have any right to be involved in this kind of, or do this kind of activity without first, receiving or articulating, the permission for it. So it's too late. Masha, nasa, to use the Rambam's language in Chasishas, it's too late. You violated the requirement for a matir. And the Arzaru, on the other hand, might explain in one of two ways. He might explain that it's true this is a matir, but there's still some way to get the matir in if it's mitzura up to the mitzvah. Although preferably, obviously, a matir should come before. The truth is that if we take the view that birchas mitzvah is a matir, we might explain at least one exception. I mean, even the Rambam has the exception of the Gemara in Pesachim of the Tvilas Ger, right? Because it's impossible otherwise. You might explain that when it's inconceivable, you just don't have the ability structured in that you can't make a bracha in advance. So either the bracha turns into a different kind of bracha and it's no longer a matir, or the siruf of that matir, lemafreya, let's say, is something that we can speak of since this is the only avenue available to us. That's when you had other options and didn't take them, so then what makes us a matir? On the contrary, a matir has to come beforehand, and you didn't accomplish that, and therefore you've lost your matir. But in the case of Tfilas Gerim, right, it's inconceivable, and therefore there is a kind of a tziruf to the after, that there are some Rishonim who understand that one could expand the idea of Tfilas Gerim and say that, you know, if a person was a nenas, if there was a particular reason why he couldn't be involved in the matir in advance, that too would work. For example, that seems to be the Shach's view. The Shach is a strong advocate of the Rambam, and yet the Shach says, Shach doesn't disagree with the Ramah. Right? The Ramah says if you have a Safek Nevela, and since his view is that, of Safek Trefa, and since his view is that Bracha on a Trefa is a Bracha Levatala, so therefore you make the Bracha afterwards. That's the view of the Ramah. The Shach doesn't disagree with the Ramah. The Shach just says that, you know, if you had the option in advance and didn't take it, then we hold like the Rambam that there are no other, there's no recourse. The Rabbi Kiveger Alatar in Simon Yotes in Yoredeya says, I don't understand the Shach. If he's really a strong advocate of the Rambam, then the only exception is Tfilas Gerim, because that's structured in. By definition, that can't be in advance. But some other problem, which isn't structured in, is always going to be Masha Avar Avar, and there's nothing to do about it. So Rabbi Kiveger says, he thinks that the Shach, while harsh with the Arzarua, isn't harsh as he should be with the Ramah, and that we should reject the Ramah, and therefore you always either have to lose the bracha in the case of Safek Trefa, or you have to, you know, bring another animal, which is Vadai, not Trefa, make the bracha on it, and have in mind, you know, to be Mitzaref, that bracha to the other. That's the view of Rabbi Kiveger. My point is that if you, the exception, the one exception of the Rambam is Dafka Tfilas Gerim, or other Rishonim expanded to other Tfilos because of Tfilas Gerim, or is it any situation which is Nenas, because then it becomes a Mitzuraf even though it's problematic, or there's no such thing as Tziruf even when it's Nachutz, even when it's inconceivable otherwise, it's always a matter of losing the Matir. The case of Tfilas Gerim is a different kind of Bracha. Yeah.
If that's really true, then how could, if it's really, really a matir,
yeah,
and it's only in a case where it's inconceivable, how could that help bringing another animal and having to buy the previous?
Well, you just, I mean, why not?
If it's real nature is a matir, it's only...
No, because we know, I mean, we all agree, there's no one who argues that you can include more than one animal's shechita in Birchas HaShechita. The only question is, how does that work exactly? We'll get to that soon. I mean, is that because you only need one matir, because like a matir on the Gavra, or that the matir on each cheftza of, you know, is mitzuruf to that original bracha? But either way, it's over lasiyasan of all the animals. I mean, no one denies that you can take more than one animal, and you can, or you know, in other mitzvos possibly too, that you can include more cheftzas in the bracha. That's not the problem. The problem that we're dealing with is, what do you mean afterwards?
After you make the bracha.
No, but it's not a bracha la'achar shechita, because the bracha was made before the first shechita. In other words, there's a difference between you didn't make a bracha at all, then you did a shechita without a bracha, and now you're making a bracha, trying to...
Oh, you're saying you shech another animal that isn't a subject.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah. I thought that made it clear. Okay. Yeah.
Trying to make their amount consistent with the Rambam, although we're the Shitas everywhere else. I may have seen this somewhere, I don't recall, but you could say that the Rambam agrees, not like the Shach says, the Rambam agrees with the Rambam in general. Shchit is just different, because it's like Ula in the sense that if we're Tola, Achila as part of the Shchita process in general, so then we have the Safek Treva, there's still an element of over Lasiyasa. In other words, he agrees with the Rambam in general.
Why is that saying... I mean, it's a specific halacha in Shchita. Yeah, I'll get to that. I think that's possible. For the Ramah, yeah. That's not the way that these poskim understand
right,
it. Right. 100%. Now, the other possibility is that the Orzarua, say in general, doesn't think that there's always tzirup after the fact. But the Orzarua holds, like the Ritva in Psachim and others, that Birchas HaMitzvah is not a matir. It's a kind of a Birchas Shevach too. Not literally Birchas Shevach Vahodah like the Taz. No, it is connected to the Chiyuv and Maisa and Kiyum HaMitzvah. It's not just, you know, rhapsodizing about a phenomenon or an institution, you know, in its context, which is what even the Taz requires some sort of tzirup, right? But the Taz, it doesn't have to be my mitzvah or my kiyum. It doesn't make a difference because we're talking about Birchas Shevach Vahodah. It's like witnessing thunder and lightning, you know. So when I encounter an act of shechita according to the Taz, it's inspiring. It's religiously inspiring. So it's not that exactly. It is in the context of performing the mitzvah, but the Birchas HaMitzvah is a Shevach Vahodah that you integrate or inject into the mitzvah. It's not as a kind of a third party, you know, a detached observer, but it's an introduction to the mitzvah itself, and it's a kiyum in the mitzvah itself, not just a matir of it. There's a lot of evidence that that may be true. The Ritva, again, sounds that way, I think, in Tzachim, in which case, b'di'eved, l'chatchila you should be anticipating, and you should be integrating it in advance, and b'di'eved, since it isn't a matir, you could do it after the fact. In any case, this is the debate between the Orzarua and the Rambam. The question is, what about here in the context of Shechita? So I happen to agree with Daniel that it's possible that the Ramah is not an echo of the Orzarua or an expansion of the of Tfilas Geirim, but that maybe he holds this has to do more particularly with Shechita. If we take the view that the mitzvah of Shechita is related not only to the act of Shechita, but to the heter achila, so it's possible that as long as there's some remnant, I think is what you were saying, as long as there's some remnant lemaisa of heter achila, which is outstanding, then we don't view this as achar asiyasa. And maybe that's what the Ramah has in mind. Not that in this context, b'di'eved, we rely on the Taz type thinking that this is a Birchas Shevach, or that b'di'eved, we rely on the Orzarua in general, but that the nature of Shechita is such, just mashal l'mado v'doma. For example, if you were to say that they were talking about an Isra Aseh, right? If we were talking about Isra Aseh, we'd have a problem, why is there a bracha anyway? That's the Prima Godim Sahara. But let's say we were, and that the focus on the mitzvah of Shechita was the actual act of Achila. So then one could even argue that until the point of Achila, it's over lasiyasa. But even if you don't go that far, let's say you say it's the we're making a bracha on the mitzvah of there being a matir, right? So again, is it the asiyasa shechita, the act, or since it is about a phenomenon, even though it's a mitzvah phenomenon, a parsha type mitzvah, it's quite possible that as long as you haven't eaten, and especially if you haven't eaten because the shechita itself is questionable, so it remains a second stage of overlas yasam. I think that that's possible. In connection to this, one could take it a step further. What would happen bizman ha-siyasam? Let's say you were to make the bracha in the middle of the shechita. So again, we know that there's this debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabina in the Sugya and the Yerushalmi, same Yerushalmi I told you to look at, Tes Gimel. Is it better to make the bracha kodem or be'emtza, when there is a be'emtza? Sometimes a mitzvah is fleeting, right? So that's a problem with, dalad minim, mid'ad be'y, nafik be'y. But let's say you have a mitzvah which, has a duration of time. So there's a debate between, we pass on the Rabbi Yochanan, that it's better still to be overlast yasan, but Ravina says be'emtza. There's a discussion in the poskim whether, even though we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, b'di'eved, we could rely on Ravina. Okay. But the issue comes up also here in Hilchos Shechita in two senses. Number one, does toch kedei dibur la'achar make a difference? That's one issue. The Pri Chadash here in Simin Yates says everybody will agree about toch kedei dibur. One of the last topics we discussed last year in Meruba was Toch Kedei Dibur. So we discussed then, you know, when it applies, when it doesn't apply, is it a din in Zman and Bevasachas, or is it a din in Chazara? Even if it's a din in Bevasachas, it's, what I was suggesting at least, is that Toch de Dibur Bevasachas only applies to certain times. It's not an objective Bevasachas in time. In other words, there's this additional little, you know, time frame to anything that you do that is considered Bevasachas. Maybe it depends on the kind of action that you're dealing with. Right, an action of das, an action of physical maisa, a matir, a mitzvah. So it's not so obvious that what the Prichadash says, which is that Tochen Deidibur will work according to everybody, that's not obvious at all. If Shechita is a kind of mitzvah that focuses on a matir, which by definition is in advance, and on a maisa, then it's quite possible Tochen Deidibur is not going to help you. Tochen Deidibur will help you if the real problem of overlasiyason is just a tziruv problem. That's normally the problem is, if you make the bracha afterwards, there's nothing to link it back to the mitzvah. That's what we said before. Unless, for example, it's inconceivable to do it any other way. So then to say the Tochen Deidibur is a mitzaref is easier to say. The Prima Gadim points out that the Tvuas Shor, this is debated on this point between the Pri Chadash and the Tvuas Shor. Pri Chadash likes Tochen Deidibur, Tvuas Shor does not. But even according to the Tvuas Shor, then the question will be the next level, and that is, what about the Emtza Shechita? So that's a very interesting question. And I think it depends on broadly speaking, on two issues. One is, how do we define different stages of Shechita? What is Maisa Shechita? So the Prima Gadim, both in his comments on the Magen Avraham and the Taz, you can look it up, he doesn't organize it so well, but basically talks about different scenarios. For example, what about Miyut Kama? What about Be'emtza, one siman between one siman and the other? What about Be'miyut Basra? Just take those three scenarios. Well, we're going to discuss them more when we learn the details of Shechita, but the point is you have to cut Rov in a Behema, Rov Shnei Simanim. And an oaf, at least, rov simanecha. So when we talk about ruining over lasiyasan, how do you define over? How do you define during? How do you define after? Right. Let's say you didn't make a bracha before you started the process, but you have yet to cut even the first siman. You just started. Is that over lasiyasan? So the Prima Gadim says, in his opinion, that for sure would be considered overlasiyasan, because as long as it's not especially in an oath, maybe it depends whether once you've cut is enough to make it a trefa if you don't continue or not. In other words, you could draw the line in different places here. If what you've cut is not even enough to create a trefa, and of course it's not enough for heksher shechita, so then the Prima Gadim says there's no problem, that's certainly overlasiyasan. Let's say it's enough to create a trefa if you don't continue, but not enough for Hechsher Shechita? That's a little trickier. Okay? And let's say it's Siman Echad, but you have another Siman to go. And let's say you did already Rov Shnei Simanim, but you're on the Miyud Basra, which is a Lechatchila, or you're on the second Siman, which is a Lechatchila of the Oath. Will the Lechatchila ones, will they be considered enough over Lasiyasa? So without going into detail, these are the things that he discussed, the Tvuas Shor and the Prima Gadim in Siman Yud Tes, both on the Taz and on the Shach, he discusses this. And I think it's a very fascinating question. So I think part of the question, half of the question, is we should just remember when we get to those other issues, is what is considered Maisa Shechita, what is considered Heksha Shechita, to what extent is the, is it all one continuum, even if I stop here, but, is it connected to the question of Yeshno L'Shechita, is it connected to the question of psulim, shihiya, b'miyud basra, things of that sort? Do we consider it one continuum or not? I think partially that is the question. But I think that there's also a question, a hilchos brachos and a hilchos mitzvah shechita question, which is what is relevant to us. Namely, is it just sufficient that it be mitzurah? Or does it really have to be over? And is the nature of this mitzvah, again, about heter achila? in which case you might gauge it very, very clearly, l'kula l'chumra, you know, that until you've reached the point of hechsher achila, it's tchila. Until you, once you have, even if you're in the middle of, you know, miyud basra, it's too late. So both on the too early, you know, early enough and the too late, l'kula l'chumra, if you look at it in terms of heter, you're going to look at it one way. If you look at it in terms of maisa shchita, or even the mitzvah of maisa shchita, then it's quite possible that we have a wider definition. So there's an interesting sefer called Mishnas Avram. My father studied with the author of the sefer, Rav Price of Toronto, Zecharo Livracha. So it's a sefer that we have in our house. So he has a discussion about this, the Tvua Shor in Prima Gadim, and he suggests that the issue depends whether Shechita is a matir or a mitzvah. But he says, I know that, you know, this could go either way. He said, one would have thought that if you look at Shechita as a matir, then maybe everything depends just on the result. And it's always over lasiyasan until you have the hechsher achila. Whereas if it's a mitzvah, it depends on zman esek b'mitzvah. As long as the gavra is involved in doing the mitzvah, you know, it doesn't really matter whether or not it's before or after the hechsher. However, he says, I still think that that's true. But nonetheless, I think that the way this is going to go is, if Shechita is a matir, then anything you do is too late. Even though you've only started b'miut kama, let's say, and there's no matir yet, nonetheless, the whole point is, it's not the esek b'mitzvah, it's the maisa. And since this is called tchilas ha-maisa, once you follow through with it, so you didn't do tchilas ha-maisa, or over tchilas ha-maisa, and therefore you violated over lasiyasa. But if you're talking about a mitzvah, a kiyama mitzvah, as long as the gavra is osek, whether it's kama, maybe even if it's, he's not so clear about this, maybe even if it's basra, as long as he's involved in the maisa mitzvah and in the kiyama mitzvah, then we're dealing with over lasiyasa. Okay. And his argument is that this is the idea, that the matir relates to the chafetza, status of the chafetza, the mitzvah always relates to the Asek Hagav. Again, I think we could argue with it, but I think it's a really interesting analysis. Either way, these are some of the issues to discuss on Bizman Asiyasa. Okay, let's move to the next issue, issue number six. Issue number six is Ayidei Acherim. Right? Let's say somebody else, can somebody else make the bracha? So this we discussed yesterday. I just want to add a few quick points to it. There are two scenarios of Ayidei Acherim. One is Shomea Keone. So here I was just pointing out, that's what I said, getting back to what we were discussing earlier, and that is that the Arzarua, the Hagos HaShri quotes it here, they base Shomea Keone on this Tosefta. Right, they quote the Tosefta here, Perek Aleph Simin Gimel. Kedetani b'Tosefta de Brachos, Asar Shay Osim Eser Mitzvos, Echa Mevarech Lekula. The only tzafek of the Orzarua is miu eni odea im huadin ilaim im yotzim bracha acher kishashnaim shochtim hoven ilaim atzmi yochel levarik. Tzafek is, will shomea ka'ona work in mitzvos based on this tosefta when one of the fellow with the shomea is in a roi? And that parallels the question of shomea ka'ona be ilaim generally, the issue of the ritva and the issue of the shagasari in brachas, nafchav. The lahalacha, the shach, and certainly the Rambam and the Rosh say that this certainly works. And in Shulchan Aruch, they don't make any such distinction as the suggestion of the Arzarua to be b'chalik between Ilay and anybody else. It works. But as I noted, for the Taz, the model is based not on Birchas HaMitzvah, but on Birchas HaSe'udah. The Beis Yosef, When he quotes this, this halacha is brought in the tour as well. When the tour quotes this halacha that, you know, if there's more than one person doing shechita, only one has to make the bracha. So the Beis Yosef says it's a davar pashut. After all, it's a mitzvah like any other mitzvahs. You just plug it into the tosefta. The Bach disagrees. Bach says, I think it's a chiddush. But it's a chiddush for the following interesting reason, just to keep in the back of your mind. What's a chiddush? He says, what if the guy who is shochet and making the bracha, let's say it turns out that when he shechted was an avail, So his bracha was a bracha lebatala. So you are shomea the bracha lebatala. Is that going to work or not? Kamash malan, you can do this. What's not clear, kamash malan, you can do this because you don't have to worry about that scenario, or kamash malan, you can do it because that isn't a bracha lebatala. That's a general issue in bracha lebatala. If you have shomea kaone, and the mashmia, in other words, is involved in a bracha lebatala, but not intentionally, obviously, is the ona, is the makabel, the mitzuraf, is his bracha depend on the status of the first fellow's bracha? And that's a shomea kaone issue. To what extent, you know, are you, you know, hitching a ride on his kiyum, and everything that you do depends on his fulfillment, or it's more like a ditto. You know, basically, I'm taking his articulation, but it's my bracha, in which case it applies to me. The post can discuss a similar question, prima gadim again in Simin Yates. What would happen if I made a bracha on Shechita and it turned out to be an Avela? Would I have to make a new bracha? Let's say I had three animals in front of me. First animal was an Avela. Would I have to make a bracha again? Personally, I think you could be mechalek between these two cases. Again, in the Shemei Kaona case, you may say, his bracha is his bracha, my bracha is my bracha. It's not that I'm hijacking, you know, his bracha or tying my kiyum with his kiyum. And it's like, you know, amen, like you know, amen of ditto, the amen of ditto. So, but if I make a bracha and it turns out to be a bracha, you know, levatala, and I want to be mitzaref that bracha to other animals, but the first one was a bracha levatala, that might be worse. Right. So we could also argue in the other direction. So this is an interesting question about bracha levatala in general, but it could also be a question about birchas hashchita. Is it really a bracha levatala if I don't know in advance that it is? Okay, so that's something to consider. That's the Bach. But the, as I mentioned, the Drisha and the Taz, they have a different perspective. They say this isn't so obvious because maybe the model is Birchas Hanenin. And that we already discussed is rejected by the Drisha, who says no, it's Birchas HaMitzvah. It is accepted by the Taz, who says it is B'Afa B'Chein, even without the full Kviyos of Birchas HaSeuda, it's parallel and similar. However, one can take it a step further. Even if you argue that Birchas Shechita is mitchila v'atzov Birchas HaMitzvah, I still think it's possible to challenge whether this Tosefta applies, based on what we said yesterday. Namely, maybe it only applies in a Chovas HaGavra. Is it obvious that it'll apply in a Bracha, which is essentially a Birchas Matir, or a Kiyum HaMitzvah, or even a Chiyuv, which is a conditional, a chiyuv based on circumstances and conditions? Maybe the tziruf between one individual and another, even for Shomea Kaona, is contingent upon a pure chovas hagavra. In which case, the application of the Tosefta to this halacha is not so obvious. Again, in Shulchan Aruch we accept this equation. The Rambam doesn't have it one way or another. I think it's an open question. Especially for the Rambam's own shita, the way we understood the mitzvah, I think it's questionable whether or not this would obviously apply in its own right. Except that it would apply for the Rambam anyway for a different reason. And that is because of the next issue. Namely, the Aidea Cherim of Shomea Kaona is easier to justify than the Aidea Cherim of Yatza Motzi. And that's what we were discussing at the end of Yatza Yashir. I want to come back to that for just a few minutes. The evidence there is, you have the Mishnah in Trumos that says when it comes to Trumos and Maestros, if a person is shomea ve'eno medaber, l'chatchila he shouldn't be mafresh. And the Or Zarua here, again quoted in Hagos HaShri, says hu hadin legabe shchita. The Shach really paskins like that Or Zarua, even though the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin like the Rambam and the Rosh, who say that l'chatchila and eno shomea shomea ve'eno medaber could shecht. That's the psak of the Rambam and the Rosh. That seems to be the psak of the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Aleph. The Shach in Sif Katan Lamed Beis qualifies the Shulchan Aruch and says it means a case of Shomea Ka'one, not a case of Yatza Motzi. It's a case where somebody else is shechting his own animal and you hear. But in Ochanami, if it was a Yatza, what I'm calling a Yatza Motzi case, it wouldn't work. L'chatchila. So the Shach, even though it's on the Shulchan Aruch, rereads the Shulchan Aruch, so it ends up being like the Or Zeruah. But the Rosh and the Rambam certainly don't hold that way, and the Shulchan Aruch itself doesn't hold that way, because the Beis Yosef on the tour says clearly what's the difference between Trumas Maisros and Shechita, the cases, as we mentioned yesterday, the Hechetimtzi. In the case of Trumas Maisros, you just don't happen to be talking about a case where there's somebody else there who's going to make the bracha. But here we're talking about somebody who is available. When somebody's available, it can be done afilu l'chatchil. Okay. So we have this major debate between the Or Zeruah against the Rambam and the Rosh, and Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch seem to be like the Rambam and the Rosh, and the Shach wants to read the Shulchan Aruch like the Or Zeruah. Fine. Again, what is the background of all of this? Again, in Birchas HaMitzvah we say Yatza Motzi. In Birchas HaNenin we don't say Yatza Motzi. We say that everybody has to be Mevarech for himself. Maybe somebody who's also eating could be Motzi Acher Midei Chavasam, that we discuss. That's a debate in the poskim. But certainly, there's no Yatza Motzi in Birchas HaNenin. So the point is, the Or Zeruah says there's no Birchas, it's like Birchas HaNenin. The Rambam seems to say it's like Birchas HaMitzvah. The Taz thought it really should be like Birchas HaNenin. After all, there's no Chovas HaGavra. Right? Which is why he came to the conclusion, that's what impelled him to say, that according to the Rambam and the Rosh, the only reason somebody else can be making the bracha here is because of Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, which as I pointed out yesterday, doesn't work well internally in the Rambam and the Rosh. But the Taz says essentially the Or Zeruah is right, except that it's a Birchas HaShevach. For the Rambam and the Rosh, I think the thing to say is that Yatza Motzi is still a better example or a better model than Birchas HaNenin. And why is that true? Number one, because, again, the Taz's issue was practical. Taz says, listen, if there's no Chavos HaGavra, so you don't need to compromise, so the ideal always is to keep the bracha with one person. What I was suggesting yesterday was one could conceptualize the Taz and say it differently. That is, you only say Yatza Motzi when there's a Chiyuv, and a Chovas HaGavra at that, because then there's Tziruf, then everybody is in the same boat. Everybody has the same Chiyuv. Where the mitzvah is a mitzvah Kiyumis, or a kind of a Matir, or even if it's a Chiyuv, but along the lines of the Kesed Mishnah, not a Chovas HaGavra, but a Chiyuv Im Yirtze, and the Im Yirtze is still in your hands, then each Chiyuv is an individual Chiyuv, and there's no Tziruf between parties, and therefore, it's not obvious that you'll say Yatza Motzi. That's, I think, the conceptual way to explain the Or Zeruah along the lines of the Taz, but not exactly like the Taz. But the counter argument for that is no. Birchas HaNenin may be the exception. Maybe either a Im Yirtze kind of Chiyuv is enough, if that's where you draw the line, or a Mitzvah Kiyumis may even be enough Tziruf for Yatza Motzi. Where you don't apply Yatza Motzi is Dafka and Birchas HaNenin, which is A, only a Rishus, and B, is a physical Hana Saguf. And I think that's what Michael pointed out yesterday, the model of, you know, Chalav and Varayos, Shekeinene, whenever there's personal physical Hana involved, and we talked about a little bit of Mitzvah Kavana also, and Mitzvah Lehonis Nitnu, whenever personal physical Kavana is involved, it's very difficult to share that. That's always an individual experience. It's never something that can be shared and mitzuraf, and therefore exported from one individual to the other. So I think, we have a full range of issues about the nature of birchas, where you draw the line in Yatza Motzi, A, and B, the different perspectives on birchas shechita, what kind of mitzvah it is. Is it a mitzvah? What kind of mitzvah, etc. Of course, there's also another huge assumption in the Taz, which we're not going to discuss, other than to mention very quickly, and that is that Taz says that there's a difference between Shechita, and?
And,
Hafroshes Truma Sumaisros. In what way, Eitan?
Hafroshes Truma and Masros, there's no, so you could point a Shaliach, well, it says it about Shechita as well. You could
it's a mitzvah. It's a chi of mitzvah even without the matir. Right? Even if you're not interested in eating, just being mafresh trumas and maizros is the mitzvah. Mashen kein shchita, which he says is connected to the matir. So on that point, Rabbi Kiveger makes the comment, you should just know it because it's a famous taz. He says, I don't say why that's true. Who said that you have to make a bracha and you have to be mafresh? What kind of chovas agaver is there to be mafresh trumas and maizros if you're not interested in being motzi midei tevel and in eating it? And then he quotes the Magen Avraham's comments about chala. So again, the chala people around the room will know. At least my personal theory is that one could be mechalik between chala and truma in that regard. Either way, that's a huge issue in trumas and maestros, the relationship between the iser tevel and the mitzvah of hafrasha, already machlokas harishonim probably, and certainly machlokas achronim, and I think one could be mechalik also between chala and trumos in that regard, but again, that's not for now. Okay. Now we move on to the next issue. So those are the two Ayidei Acherims. The next issue is, let me make sure I just got everything in here. Okay. The next issue is the question of Sach ben Shechita l'Shechita. Okay, let's move quickly as we can. So I already did some of the work on that. As we say, that's the Machlokas Valitosis and the Ran and the Ramban. And then the halacha and how you paskin, the huge machlokas in the poskim. Again, the in Birchas Hanenin in the context of Suda, clearly sach bein is not a problem. But there are two elements to consider in that model. Number one, we're dealing with a Birchas Hanenin, a matir. Birchas Hamitzvah may be different than Birchas Hanenin. Especially if you don't all like the Rambam and you think that there's no kishem, that every Birchas HaMitzvah is also a kind of a matir. Secondly, and this the Rishonim already point out, a Seuda is naturally, de facto, an integrated kind of a thing. Right? In other words, it's not, you know, you're eating broccoli and you're eating, potato chips. And you're eating, I don't know, what do people eat? An eclair, or a piece of fruit. You're eating a meal.
Rabbi's cookies.
What?
Rabbi's cookies.
Well, that I think is like a kvius in its own right, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too. And we'll find out again in June. Right?
Oh.
Or maybe soon.
Oh.
But not here.
Oh, in the house, right,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Lies.
I just want to make it clear, because the last time I made that promise, I was like, it's like a sword of Damocles over my head for years. So I just want to make clear my intentions. Anyway, okay. So the point is that a Suda is an integrated kind of a thing, right? You know, it has many, courses, I guess. In my day, you know, we just talked about the courses, but now they talk about forkers, a three forker, a two forker. Like, it's a different world, right? So, but the point is, it's all like choreographed. Like a good meal, especially, is something that is choreographed, right? You know, everything, you know, falls into place when it should. But it's all integrated. It's an integrated choreographed structure. So, therefore, sach bein is never going to be a problem. On the other hand, nimlach is going to be a problem, right? Because nimlach sounds like it's no longer part of the meal. It wasn't anticipated. Right? There are things that don't need to be anticipated because they're obvious, right? But things that do need to be anticipated that aren't are outside of the meal. Again, in Ketz and Dvarchin, you know, that's a Dvarim Shebetoch HaSuda, Dvarim SheAchar HaSuda, Dvarim SheLifnei HaSuda. Actually, brachos, the same bracha will not be poter necessarily from the different, the Lifnei, LaAchar, and betoch, right? I mean, the culture of a meal is that, you know, maybe the aftermath. Again, bismaneinu, at least, you know, in my experience, dessert is part of the meal. Right? But in Hilchos Brachos and Ketz Mevarchin, dessert might really be, you know, something separate. Not linden birchas hamazon, but at least linden bracha rishona. you learn Hilchos Brachos well, again, I'm making another plug for Night Seder or something. So the whole, you know, culture of a meal in the view of halacha really emerges. Okay. So Nimlach makes sense, but Sach Bein Bein, when it's included in the anticipated menu or the expanded menu, is not going to be a problem. On the other hand, the other case is Bein Tfila Le Tfila, Tfila. Now Tfilin Shel Yad, Tfilin Shel Rosh is a tricky kind of a thing. And what's fascinating, again, normally I would call on people, I just want to get through this, so I'm moving a little more quickly, but if you look at the Rishonim, what emerges, two opposite views on why Sach Bein Tfilin Le Tfilin may be unique. It may be unique because Dafka, you have to integrate the two tefillins. Tefillin Shel Yad, Tefillin Shel Rosh are one mitzvah. The Machlokas Rishonim, really, whether it's one or two mitzvahs, right? And the bracha question and the hefsek question and minyan mitzvahs question are all crucial to that. We're not going to go into that now because we're not learning Stam. But the point is, if you take the view that Tefillin Shel Yad, Tefillin Shel Rosh are really one mitzvah, so then the pressure to integrate them is greater. And that would explain why Sach Bein is a problem. So Lu Yitzu, you have another mitzvah, right? Where you're not trying to integrate what seem to be two different things and make them into one. So you're talking about like a kefala mitzvah. More animals, maybe even chayas and behemas and ophos, but they're still animals, right? So you don't have the pressure of creating one chefzah shel mitzvah. So here, the need for, you know, a more intensive tziruf is less urgent. Here you might say, sach bein is not a problem. Again, it's not the meal, which is one integrated, naturally one integrated, if choreographed, structure, but it's certainly not tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh. At the same time, that's the view of the Bali Tosis. The view of some of the Chachmei Sfarad is the opposite. They say, listen, Tefillin Shel Yad, Tefillin Shel Rosh, they're two completely different mitzvos. Right? So if you want to integrate two different mitzvos with one bracha, so then the demands of tzir, not to create one chafetza, but to have one bracha bichal on two different chafetza shel mitzvahs, and two different maisa mitzvos, you better be very careful. Right? Any kind of interruption, because basically we're not talking about expanding, you know, the one bracha. We're basically saying this bracha is chal on two disparate things. So for the bracha to be chal on two disparate things, there better be no hefsek, because anything can interrupt this delicate tziruf. What?
How do they just by the absence of the second bracha?
No, they're saying this one bracha will apply equally to both. It's not one mitzvah, though. It's a single bracha which will apply equally, if differently, to two different mitzvahs. But in order to do that, you better be very careful that there's not even sicha. But for example, let's say you have a mitzvah like shechita, right, which is far from being like suda, or from being like the Chachmei Tzarfat's view of tefillin, but it's also far from being two disparate mitzvahs that you want separately the one single bracha to be chal on both. Right? So then what's the halacha going to be? That's the trick. So this is a very interesting question in general. Let's say, for example, you have other mitzvahs. Yeah. You have another example. Let's give you another example coming up. The Dalet Minim in Lulav. Right? So you can't be sach between the bracha and the beginning of the process. That seems clear. Right? But can you be, there's a very, everybody agrees that you can't be sach after you make the bracha before you do the ma'isa. I mean, that's pretty clear. The Pri Chodesh has an interesting case. He said there was a shochet for the Muslims, you know, and they insisted that he always scream, and this in Simeon Yates, just too good not to mention. So they insisted that the shochet always scream out Allah Akbar. And he writes, Allah Akbar, you know, and then he translates, says, you know, whatever. He says, before the shechita. And they wouldn't let the people say the Allah Akbar, then make the bracha, and then do the shechita. So he said, you know, what can we do? You know, is the Allah Akbar a hefsek between the bracha and the tchilas hashchita? So some of the other poskim say, that's a prichada, I think. So I think the Prima Gadim says, well, I don't know whether you can do that at all. Maybe it's avodah zara or best chukas hagoyim. Forget about the bracha, you know, levatala problem. You know, but so he says, you know, sneak in a chicken or something. You know, make the birchas hashchita, you know, on the chicken before they, you know, they're looking. You know, do the first shechita, and then all the other ones you can say Allah Akbar. Anyways, the point is, you know, Sakh Bain falls somewhere in between these issues. You have a similar issue in the Dalad Minim. In Dalad Minim, you can't have anybody be mafsik before you start any of the Minim. What if you're mafsik between the Lulav and the Esrog and the Hadassim, and the Hadassim and the Ravos? That's a big machlokas or Rishonim, and Poskim and Shulchan Aruch. Or, now that at least, and partly that, you know, that might relate to the question, how you relate to the Dalad Minim. Are the Dalad Minim one mitzvah? Are they four Maisa mitzvahs, but one Cheftesho mitzvah? What are they, four completely different mitzvahs? Right? Similar to the question that we're raising about Tefillin. The poskim about Sukkah relate back to the question of Tekiyah Shofar. It's really in Yonah Diyoma, right? Let's say you are mafsik after the bracha, before you do the proper amount of kolos. You did a kol shofar, but you didn't do the proper amount. You didn't do the 30 kolos or the 10. Do you have to make a bracha again? So again, there is partly very importantly, a hilchos shofar question, namely the minyan of kolos that are required are quantitative or qualitative. They're part of the kiyama mitzvah, or they're all part of the single beginning of the Maisa mitzvah. Right? Where do you draw the, how do you draw the line in each case? But there's also this question, when you, it's not exactly like Sach Bein Tefillah L'Tefillah, right? Because it is naturally one continuous mitzvah, even though you have yet to complete the Shiur. It's not, you're not trying to have a bracha bichal on two different things. You're not trying to create one Cheftza to overcome, you know, what seems like two. So having said all this, where does Shechita fall? That's the Machlokas of Rishonim. Yeah. Yeah. Say again? I can't hear you.
Is it possible that Tosfot wants to lead Shechita more towards Tefillin when he says, even though you don't have to make any bracha when you're soft, you should avoid doing it anyway? He says that a little farther down in the parish.
Yeah, I mean, is that because no, is this a safek in Rishonim? Why isn't that just being machmir? I mean, everybody says that lechatchila, you should not be sach because of this machlokas of Rishonim. But I think what's interesting about Tosus is they focus on Seuda as a mashal, and then they focus on Tefillin as being unique. But they also understand, I think, and this is partly it, that Seuda is not a perfect mashal either, because it is naturally integrated and anticipated.
I mean, you could still take a nagel stance. You could say, listen, it's, you know, very similar to Suda, in which case, what's the problem? You know, it may even have the same commute as Suda.
Right, I think if you felt Vadai that way, then it wouldn't be a problem. I think what I'm trying to describe here is that the evidence are extreme cases. And we just, like, whenever you have extreme evidence, so it's hard to figure out, you know, whether that's just a coincidence and those are the cases that we happen to, you know, have in front of us, but essentially, you know, it's something more moderate about those cases that is mechayiv, in which case the more moderate applications would fall in line. That's what we're trying to do methodologically. So I think, the Rishonim were, you know, if they weren't certain about it, it's pure conviction, you know, so they're still going to say b'machmir, and I think that's what he's saying. I just find it interesting that what's unique about the Suda, what's unique about the Tefillin, even that, there's a machlokas for sure, and that affects. But obviously, a part of, just like in Sukkah, the Dalad Minim, and in the Minyan of Kolos and Shofar, just as there, and of course, Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, how we understand the mitzvah is going to play a role, so too here. What is the nature? Number one, is this Birchas HaMitzvah or is it a Birchas HaNenim? One of the, you might say, well, it's Birchas HaNenin has its own dinim, that's because it's a matir. And once you have the heter on a suda, so you don't have to be matir every single piece of food. It's heter agavra in the context of a suda. But when you're talking about shechita, is it the heter of every individual chafta from the vela? Or the heter achila of every single chafta? Is that the point? Is it heter agavra? Even from the matir point of view. And from a mitzvah point of view, we could certainly ask this question. Again, are you repeating, or are you, you know, essentially being mechel this bracha on each and every different maisa mitzvah or kiyama mitzvah? Is each kiyama mitzvah separate? It's like tefillin. Here they're separate because, again, all the Rishonim and Poskim point out, one of the unique things about shechita, which makes it so difficult to pin down, it's harchiyuv. Right, tefillin, whatever you want to say, lekula and lechumra, they say this. So, you know, you have to finish the job. You put on your tefillin shel yad, you got to put tefillin shel yad, you have to put on your tefillin shel rosh. You know, but in shechita, you didn't have to do the first one, and you certainly don't have to do number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5 through 20, or whatever it is. Now that makes more or less. So therefore, when you want to be mitzaref, no problem. It doesn't break it up because we're not looking forward, or the opposite. It's more difficult to be mitzaref because there's no chiyuv. There's nothing to link there. So you have to pay attention, close attention to the language of the Rishonim and the Poskim here. But basically what I'm suggesting is that there are several issues that overlap with our topic in this regard. Okay, I should say something very quickly about the last issue, the Ayidei Acherim. Let me finish brachos at least. The Ayidei Acherim, there's a halacha lemaisa issue that comes up on Rosh Hashanah a lot. And that is, again, the case that we were talking about before is, if you have a mitzvah, especially one which isn't an absolute chovas hagavra, let's take the taz. If you have a mitzvah which in theory could be done bracha and maisa by one person, how important is that in birchas hamitzvah? That's what we're discussing. Taz basically says it's only when you have no choice that you can split up a birchas hamitzvah, and the no choice is only in a case where you have an absolute chiyuv. And the Rambam and the Rosh were saying, no, no big deal, even the Chatchila, it's fine. Let him do the Shechita and somebody else make the Bracha. But what about a case where you have one person doing the Maisa and the other person having the Kiyama Mitzvah? Who makes the Bracha then? Where do we have that case? Bako? Oh, you mean like Shliach, and then where's Avi? Avi's the expert.
By a shofar, where you the
shofar. It happens every single Rosh Hashanah, where you have not everybody's a bakim b'tikiyah shofar. Otherwise, it would be mutar b'Shabbos, right? So we know al pidin that not everybody's a bakim in shofar. So what happens when somebody can't come to shul? Right, the women who can't always come to shul, or cholo can't come to shul. And they want to hear tekiyah shofar, so you send somebody over to their house, right? So the kiyama mitzvah is the shomea. The maisa mitzvah, the maisa tekiyah, is being done by the baki, by the tokeya. But he's already yatzamotzi. Who makes the bracha? That's a little different than the case that we were talking about here, right? Because even if you were to take the view that it could be according to the Rosh and the Rambam, we don't care. You can always split a bracha. If you can split a bracha, if the person who does the maisa and has the kiyum doesn't need to be the one to make the bracha, then if one guy is doing the maisa and he wants to make the bracha for the person who's having the kiyum, then certainly it's not a problem. Now, according to the Rambam and the Rosh, depending on whether we're reading it right or according to the Taz, it would still be a problem. According to my suggestion, right? The issue doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. You know, the Shomea can make the bracha, the Tokea can make the bracha. Maybe it's better for the Tokea to make the bracha because he's at least doing the. Maybe that's better. It's hard to know, but you can split them, even in Birkas HaMitzvah. But according to the Taz, Udi Imei, maybe the Shach and the Or Zeruah, if that's really what they're concerned about, again, these are the different perspectives that we pursue. Here it's a little bit of a different case because it isn't choosing the Osa HaMitzvah and somebody else. Here you have to choose between the Mekayim HaMitzvah and the Osa HaMitzvah. That's trickier. That's not so clear. That's if you look at the Poskim in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Shofar about this issue. There's a lot of controversy about it. What you do? I think most people are knowing that that the Shomea should make the bracha, but it's Machlokas Poskim. It also could very well depend, in terms of Tkiyah Shofar, on how important the Tkiyah is. Now, as I said, there's a difference between the Tkiyah, which is the Maisa, and the Shmiyah, which is the Kiyama Mitzvah. Maybe we'll speak about this a little tomorrow, maybe. But again, if you hold that the Mitzvah is Shmiyah, which we Paskin, the view of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, that's reflected in the Bracha, so is the Tkiyah just a Hechatimtzi for having Kol Shofar? Or is it still a Maisa Mitzvah Tkiyah Shofar? If it was just a Hechatimtzi, then it would be easier to say that, you know, if you have some problem here, that then certainly, you know, if it's choice between the Mekayim HaMitzvah and the Osa HaMitzvah, then it's always the Mekayim HaMitzvah, because the Asiyas HaMitzvah here is just a Hechatimtzi. But if there's stature to the Maisa Mitzvah, even when it's Yotzimotzi, maybe in terms of the Matir part of it, etc., particularly, right? He's the one who's doing the act, the Maisa. So maybe the Osa Maisa is the one who has to the Bracha. Yeah. Alechai, you want to say something? Okay. So this is an issue that comes up every year. It should know. It's we're learning Shchita, but these issues are very, 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 very relevant. Okay. Finally, let me just make one other hara. Yeah. Well, the questions of Nimlach, I'm not going to go into them right now. I already mentioned it. There's huge debates about the questions of Nimlach, as we already discussed, and I told you some of the places to draw the line. Nimlach is a din in Hilchos Birchas HaNedin. Whether Nimlach will apply to Birchas HaMitzvah of Shechita, and whether or not the criteria will be different, not just for technical reasons. Again, the, you know, Suda, anything, you know, surprised me in the Suda, you know. You're sitting down in the Suda, you're expecting to be surprised. Yeah. So Nimlach is defined in a wider way in Suda than anything else. That's the view of many of the poskim, to square the evidence of Nimlach in Birchas HaNedin with Nimlach in Shechita. Minechad Shleminim, as I say, if the stuff comes after the bracha before the Maisa, if the stuff comes before the end of all the first Maisim, but after the beginning of the Maisa, etc. You'll look at that. But it's very, very possible that the whole idea of Nimlach is just totally different in Birchas HaMitzvah than it is in Birchas HaNenin. And in Birchas HaNenin, it's about being Matir. In Birchas HaMitzvah, it's about the mitzvah, the bracha being chal on these other matters. And the kula and the chumra, that just the criterion just might be completely, completely different. And finally, just to mention that the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Chav Ches paskins that we don't make a Birchas Hazman on Shechita. Even if it's your first time as a Shochet, you don't make a Birchas Hazman. So the Ramah gives the explanation that it's related to being Mazik Birya. Since you're being Mazik Birya, you shouldn't make a Bracha. But the Shach says that it has to do with the fact that it's a Rishus, and that there's no Chiyu. I think that's an interesting question too, relating to the issues that we've been discussing. Okay, there are more. There's more issues and more topics to discuss here, but that's a good survey at least of Birchas HaMitzvah, L'Shechita, for our purposes. Now, it's going to start because I want to start the next sugya. Make sure that we're moving on, and that is the Gemara in Tezayin Amud Beis. Since I know, I'll just have somebody read it very, very quickly. I just want to raise for 5 minutes some of the questions. And then we'll continue with it on Sunday. We'll try to do two things on Sunday. Eitan, you want to, if you don't mind? And then after that, I said we'll mostly start from the beginning and go straight. Then we'll start working straight. Good morning, Tazayno Days. Go ahead.
Kol shochtin ulam shochtin. Kol shochtin akol b'shchida v'afilu orf. Olam shochtin, man tana amar rabba, Rabbi Shmuel. Tanya Kirchiv Hashem Elokecha Dibulcha Kasher Diber Lach Damarta Ochlav Asar V'Gomer Rabbi Shmuel Omer Lo Baka Tuvel Latir Lahem Basar Tava Shebitchila Neasar Lahem Basar Tava Mishinech Nisul Aretz Hutar Lahem Basar Tava V'Achshav Shigalu Yachol Yachzur li Yisuran harishon, nekach sheninu lam shochtin.
So is this obvious or not? This havamina. Gemara records a havamina that Rabbi Shmuel holds that the basar taiva was asur b'midbar. It was hutar kishenichnesu la'aretz, and one might have thought that it would be nasar again in the state of galus. Kamash malan, it's not true. Once they were matir, the basar kishenichnesu la'aretz, that sticks. They didn't go back to an isur basar taiva. So what do you think, Eitan? Reasonable havamina.
I find it hard to believe that we would have gone back to the original.
Why? Just because we don't like to go back?
Because it was changed at one point, and you would think that would continue that way.
I think, okay, I mean, again, because we don't like change, or more than that.
I
think there are 2 points here that one could raise.
I just see the distinction between being when we were in the Midbar versus in Eretz Yisrael, and once we leave the Midbar, which is its own Malkum and its own dinim, then...
Okay, so what you're saying is, that I think that's part of this, at least one of them, saying that Basa Taiba, Bamidbar, there's a certain compelling logic to that, and if that changed Kishenichnesu L'Eretz Yisrael, it's hard to understand why Galus and Chutz La'aretz, you know, would change that. Okay. And how would you? What is the compelling logic of the Midbar that's more than?
There's certain educational process that God was taking us through. Part of
okay.
It is to see
interesting.
The Mishkan is being centered in the Machaneh, and so all Basar had to be, you know, brought as Shlamim to the Mikdash and was. Or was teaching certain.
Okay, but that already, that's good. I like that, and I think that's definitely possible. But essentially, you are saying that there was, I mean, it's not impossible to extend what you're saying and say, well, we need that re-education in Chutz La'aretz.
Yes.
So let me say this. Let me just say, I think more simply, there's another formulation, you know, which makes it more difficult, even more difficult. To see Chutz La'aretz as a return to the Midbar. That would be just in plain terms, physical terms, namely? Kiyurcha kiyarchiv, right? In other words, you know, you see it in the educational term, you might be right, I mean, that might be the point. But one could have thought that the whole idea of the Yisur Basa Taiva b'Midbar is because the Beis HaMikdash is on your doorstep. I'm not going to give it away, but I think one could even say that it's almost like the equivalent in the Midbar. Everything was almost like Shkitas Chulin Bazara, right? If one could make the comparison. That's not true once you're Nichnas to Eretz Yisrael, and it's certainly not true, you know, Kal v'chomer that it's not true once you're Gola to Chutz La'aretz. So if the focus of the Midbar has to do specifically with either, you know, the educational, well, like Eitan said, I'm not disputing what you said either. I just think it's more subtle. With, you know, Klal Yisrael at a certain point in time, they needed this stage of Yisur Basa Taiva. Right? Or maybe because of the, you know, particular challenges of the Midbar, the Archaim on the Parsha says that the did a basar taiba, but Midbar had to do with Klal Yisrael, and the whole Slav story is connected to that. There are particular circumstances in the Midbar, you know, again, their level of development and the particular Yetzer Haras that drove them at that particular point made basar taiba also. Now, according to Archaim, essentially, the Midbar was an anomaly. That was the Yotzei Min HaKlal. That was the Archaim. That's true, then returning to, after being in Eretz Yisrael, returning to Galus, unless you say those same things are replicated, it's hard to understand. Okay. Or what you said, which is, at Klal Yisrael, this phase needed this focus, and we'll explain what we mean by that. They needed this focus, once that's done, it's done. But if we say that it has to do with a kind of chulin bazara, you're always bazara. So then, this becomes very problematic. So the point is that this Havamina seems to indicate that either the Midbar was, that the Midbar wasn't so unique. That Knesa L'Eretz Yisrael, in a way, is what is unique. And maybe one could even say that it's the opposite. When you have life in Eretz Yisrael and everything goes along with it, a certain, you know, attachment to the Mikdash and to Kedusha, etc., only then does Basar Taiva, you know, become part of a more integrated life. The perspective on Basar Taiva, you know, is different. But either pre-Eretz Yisrael or post-Eretz Yisrael, that's the common denominator, is being disconnected from the spiritual, you know, compelling life of Eretz Yisrael, naturally there should be an Isur Basar Taiva. So basically already what we're asking is Basar Taiva an exception, or the, which is exception, which is the rule? Knesa L'Eretz Yisrael or Basar Taiva B'Midbar A? Or is it part of a process, in which case it's not an exception or a rule, but there are two values going on here. Namely, it's important for a while that Basar Taiva should have been Asur for various reasons, which we'll try to explain. And once that phase it was over, then it's obvious that Basar Taiva is mutter. Let me take a step. That's one, I think, whole approach. Namely, which is the exception, which is the rule? What is Chutz La'aretz more like, Eretz Yisrael or the Midbar? I think there's a second issue, and that is, to what extent do we understand the change that took place as being a change in definition or more in application, by which I mean they were nichlas to Eretz Yisrael, so the whole idea of Shechita changed, right? In which case, it's hard to go back, like you said. But not because of, you know, inertia, you know, per se, but because, you know, once you change the definition, you know, we evolved and we're at this stage now. And this is the definition in terms of Nevela, and Eivra Menachai, and Shechita, and Basar Chulin, and Basar Kodshim. You can't just turn the clock back. What happened in Eretz Yisrael was irrevocable. It was a change in definition and in halachic status. If that's true, the Havamina is very difficult to understand. So either if the Midbar was unique because of the physical proximity of the Mishkan, or because of their fledgling state of spiritual evolution, right? Or because of the particulars, challenges of the Midbar per se, it would be almost impossible to understand the Havamina. If we take the other perspective, we could understand it. Either way, the maskara of the Gemara is that Galus is the equivalent of Nichnas L'Eretz Yisrael, which leaves us open to all of these things. We're just not sure that's because definitions changed and therefore they're irrevocable once they're Nichnas L'Eretz Yisrael, or is it because the Mechayev in the Midbar was Kiruv HaMakom, Chulin Baz, what I'm calling a kind of Chulin Bazara, or this particular phase and stage. Okay, that's what we need to be keep on the lookout for. Okay, let's continue. Okay, so clearly the Gemara itself is zeroing in on Kiruv and Richuk as being factors. Okay. Now we just need to understand, and so what if it's, is Kiruv the exception, or is Richuk the exception? In other words, is it that when you're in the Mishkan's front door, it's almost like Chulin Bazara, it's a slap in the face to the Mishkan and to the opportunities of Kodshim to be doing anything else than bringing Karbanos. But when you're not in that environment, so of course there's a Heter Basar Taiva. Right. Or is the point that whenever there's richuk makom, the chatchila of a kind of chulin bazar that always exists, but whenever there's richuk makom, that's a heter. In other words, you don't want to test Klal Yisrael's resolve, you know, not to have any bazar at all when the burden is so great, right? So, Dibra Torah keneged Yetzara, whenever there's Richuk Makom, we're Matir. Not that the Oser was Kiruv Makom, but the Matir is Richuk Makom. Certainly, conceptually, these are very different perspectives. For example, is there any Shemetz of a Kiyum, you know, not to eat Basar, to be a vegetarian? And not to have Basar Taiva, if you, is there any value in it at all? Or is it only the Oser of Kiruv Makom? Or, let me put it this way, in Eretz Yisrael, let's say you live right near the Beis HaMikdash, is there any kiyum, any value in holding out and only bringing, only eating meat so that is shlamim? So general vegetarianism and actual kiruv makom are possible nafkamina, whether the mechayev here was kiruv makom, and again the stage that Klal Yisrael were in, or not. For example, again, that same Arachayim says, yeah, if you really live in you know, in such proximity to the Beis HaMikdash, you really should only eat basar shlamim. Is chulin bazara, for that matter, really connected with this idea? Is chulin bazara an echo of the old Isur basar taiva of Bamidbar? And if so, is there even a kiyum beyond technical chulin bazara? Okay, let's continue. One more minute for him.
Rabbi Akiva, he did Tanya, Kirchak, Mimchan, Mokom, Asher, Yitchar, Hashem, Lukacha, Lassum, Shemo, Sham, Zavach, Tali, the Karcha, Mitzvah, Mitzvah, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Loba, Hakatu, Vela, Lassur, Lahen, Basar, Nachira, Shemit, Hila, Utar, Lahen, Basar, Nachira, Mishnich, Nisul, Ar, Nasar, Lahen, Basar, Nachira, Vachshav, Shegalu, Yachol, Yachzur, Lahat, Tiran, Harishon, Lekach, Shani, Lolam, Shoch.
So now we have similar, again, we're not going to analyze it now, but Rabbi Akiva says exactly the opposite. Right, instead of Nichnas La'aretz being a Kula, Nichnas La'aretz was the Chumrah to exclude Basar Nechira. Again, we have to figure out what's going on here, which is the exception, which is the rule. There was a special Heter Basar Nechira of a Midbar because of their circumstances, but the norm is the requirement of Shechita. Or on the contrary, again, Klal Yisrael evolved from Basar Nechira. What did that entail exactly? And what did it have any stature or didn't have stature? To Basar Shechita, things changed, the definitions really changed as they were Nichnas L'Eretz Yisrael. Okay, just a couple more lines.
It might come in Palki, Rabbi Kiva Savar, Basar Taiva Loitzar Klau. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Basar Nechir Loishtari
Klau. So here's the line, of course, which is particularly vexing for the Rambam. The Gemara seems to say that these two ideas are mutually exclusive, that Rabbi Kiva denies Basar Taiva, and Rabbi Shmuel denies any kind of heter nechira. The problem is, as we know, that the Rambam says that there was a heter nechira, but there was an iser shchitas basar taiva. Okay, we'll have to figure out that line. Go ahead. So the Havamina was, and we'll stop here, but we'll just pick up with the other Havaminas till two dots next time. The Havamina was that Nechira was going to work in the Midbar even for Kadshim. That's a wild Havamina. And the Gemara says, no. Well, one of the things I'm going to try to suggest is, when the Gemara said no, did that change our whole view of what Rabbi Akiva is really all about? When we acknowledge that even Rabbi Akiva has two dinim, Nechira and Shechita, does that change the nature of the Heter Nechira as well? Okay, so we'll pick up with the Ramban, the Tosas, Rashi, Rambam on these issues next time. That was exactly